Thank you, everyone who came for coming. I know it is a very quiet week here in the Five Towns, Yeshiva week vacation, but we should keep on learning Torah. So thank you very much for allowing this year to continue. I made fewer copies of the Mar Makomos, but it still seems sufficient. And the Mar Makomos this week are not the typical Mar Makomos. They are, like I said, a write-up of the sugya, but I did quote most of the sources word for word in the write-up, so we'll still be able to read certain things inside. The topic for tonight is kissing children in shul. There is no sugya in Shas about kissing children in shul, about any isra to kiss children in shul, or certainly any mitzvah to do so, or anything of that nature, but it's sort of one of those things that we know. I remember as a young child, I was in shul once, and we saw a father kissing his child, and someone made a comment to the father. Someone sitting in a row in front of him made a comment to him, you know, you really shouldn't do that. The halacha is that you're not allowed to do that. So where does that come from? What is the source of the iser of the potential iser to kiss children in shul? And also, is it only a din in children? Is it only a din in your children? When does a child stop being a child? Is it what if your child is an adult? Is it then still has to be, what if he's a bar mitzvah boy? He has become a man, and after he finishes his aliyah or his haftorah, the father wants to give him a kiss. That happens all the time. So is that something that's permissible, or is that included in the iser? What if it's not davening time? It's just some other time. You just happen to be located in a Beis HaKnesses. What exactly are the parameters of this issue? Now, it's interesting, when you look into this topic, you will find that the overwhelming majority of tshuvas on the topic were written by Sephardic poskim. And the reason the overwhelming majority of tshuvas on this topic were written by Sephardic poskim is that they are the ones that really have a problem with this, because even though it's a Ramah, it's not a Mechaber, it's a Ramah, but it's written by Sephardic poskim because Sephardim tend to kiss more. They kiss hands, they kiss the Chacham, they kiss their father's hand, they kiss. So there's more kissing going on in a Sephardic shul than there is in an Ashkenazic shul, so there's more of a need to justify the minhag. You would expect them to justify the minhag by saying, it's a Ramah, big deal. But that's not what they do. Any Sephardic posik that I saw actually deals with the sources that the Ramah quotes and tries to work through based on that. So we're essentially going to have two parts to the shir. Part number one is just going to be where this minhag comes from, and part number two is what the exceptions are to the minhag.
And kiss their own hand. Someone will shake your hand, and then.
The shaking of your hand, so you have to pull your hand away, right? I don't know. So let's see. The first source, which serves as a as one of the basic yesodos, one of the basic sources in the sugya, is a Sefer Chasidim in Simen Reish Nun Hey. This is right after the bolded words Makara Minag Sefer Chasidim Simen Reish Nun Hey. Let's take a look at his words. Lo yinashek adam bebeis haknesses espino. One is not allowed to kiss his son in shul, velo bebeiso lifnei rabbo, and he's not allowed to kiss him in his house in front of his rebbe. So two things: you're not allowed to kiss your son in shul, and you're not allowed to kiss your son anywhere if your rebbe is present. So apparently, those two are connected to each other. And then, right after, lach hashakar b'torah menashik sefer torah al shem yashkenim menashikos piu, that right after Kriyas HaTorah, you kiss the Sefer Torah. If you got an aliyah, so you kiss the Sefer Torah afterwards. So some kissing is allowed in shul when you're kissing the Sefer Torah. So what's the difference between kissing the Sefer Torah and kissing your son? And what exactly is the connection between kissing your son in shul and kissing your son in front of your Rebbe? Why are those two things connected? But so two things that it seems we could be medayik from the Sefer Chasidim. First of all, the comparison to the Rebbe sounds like that the kissing of the child is a lack of kavod to the Rebbe, and therefore the comparison would be kal v'chomer, in some level it's a lack of kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So l'chora, it's not really about how it's disrespectful in the sense that how could you show this love, your love for God should be so much greater, because then it should have nothing to do with your Rebbe. No Rebbe would say, how could you kiss your kid? You know, a Rebbe would, that's not the problem with kissing your kid in front of your Rebbe. What would be the problem with kissing your kid in front of your Rebbe? It's just, it's not derech eretz, that you want to act in a very dignified manner, with a little sense of aim, a year, you know, you want to have a little sense of trepidation, so you don't do things that are more playful, that are things that you would associate with more lightheadedness, with a more relaxed type of atmosphere. So that's the issue, that in a shul in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or in front of your Rebbe, you shouldn't have that playful, relaxed kind of mood. There should be a certain sense of fear. I remember Rabbi Kamenetsky told me once, many years ago, that every time his Rebbe's plane lands, his Rebbe Rav Blachman, Rav Mendel Blachman, lives in Israel, said every time his plane lands, like, his entire body, like, tenses up. He says, Rabbi Kamenetsky says, I still feel his presence. Like, my whole body just tenses up, and everything, I realize, like, you feel that pachad, that yira, that awe that he has. Now, most people don't know what that feels like. We don't really have that sense. But if you've ever been in the presence of, you know, true gedolim, you know, there's certainly ones that you're not accustomed to seeing all the time. So you feel that sense a little bit. I remember when Rav Nevensal came to visit DRS years ago. When he walked in the room, it didn't matter who the kid was. It didn't matter if the kid was the biggest masvid or the kid didn't know who Rav Nevensal was or who any other rabbi was. It didn't make a difference. The place was silent, and you could hear a pin drop, and there was just like, it was so, the tension was so thick. It was unbelievable. The atmosphere created just by having an Adam Gadol there. So you wouldn't be kissing your kids in that kind of environment. That's the impression, at least I get from the Sefer Chassidim. Very similar to what the Gemara Megillah Daf Chav Ches says, that a person shouldn't have Kalos Rosh in a Beis HaKnesses. And if that's the case, it really has nothing to do with your child, it has nothing to do with how much love you feel to the person that you're kissing. It's just, don't act in a less dignified way. Don't drop the formalities when you're in shul. And the second thing to note in the Sefer Chassidim's formulation is that he talks about the Isser Lefnei Rabo and the Isser Bibeis HaKnesses, not Kisha Omid Lefnei Hashem, but Bibeis HaKnesses. Kisha Omid Lefnei Hashem would mean when you are davening. Bibeis HaKnesses is not when you are davening, it's Bibeis HaKnesses. It's when you are in shul. So it's not about the presence of the Shekhinah per se, it's about the fact that this is a place that is treated with respect, regardless of whether you're currently davening or not. So that's a second possible diuk to make from the Sefer Chassidim. The other primary source that they all quote is the Tshuvas Binyamin Ze'ev in Simkuf Samach Gimel. Tshuvas Binyamin Ze'ev quotes from the Aguda in Brachos, Paraketan Mevarchin, in the name of the Sefer Kolbo. Now, Rabbi Abadi, in his Tshuvas Or Yitzchak Chayil Beis, Simen Mem Beis, if you notice in footnote number one, I quoted Rabbi Abadi's Lashon, he writes, Vinei ba'aguda lo matzasi. He says he tried to track down this Aguda, to look up this Aguda, and he couldn't find it. Va'al karchach yeshez ato'o sofer. There must be some mistake over here in the Binyamin Ze'ev quoting this Aguda. Ubiprat masha kasav b'darkei Moshe sha'aguda kasav ze b'shem ha'kolbo. Especially since it's an Aguda quoting from the Kolbo. Delonira sha'aguda yatik dvar b'shem ha'kolbo. He says it doesn't make sense that the Aguda would be quoting the Kolbo. V'gam lo nira ken lefit seder's manehem. Historically, it wouldn't make sense. I'm not familiar. I didn't do the research on this. Maybe you got to ask Google or something. When did the Aguda live? When did the Kolbo live? And why does it historically not make... And would that then make it obvious why historically it doesn't make sense that the Aguda would be quoting the Kolbo? But be that as it may, whatever the source might be that the Binyamin Ze'ev is quoting, Binyamin Ze'ev is one of the very early Achronim, very, very early Achron Tshuva Sefer. So he goes through a whole bunch of Hanhagos that a person should be careful about. Like, for example, he says that you shouldn't make a shechianu on a new fruit during the Bein HaMetzarim, during the 3 weeks, because you don't want to say that you're so excited to be l'zman hazeh, that shechianu l'zman hazeh, because it's a bad zman, it's fundamentally a bad zman. He says you shouldn't fight over mitzvos, you know, if two people are kigon glila sefer Torah, like to argue over who gets glila, like you always see those fights break out over who gets to do glila. And in that context, he also mentions v'lo yinashek adam l'banav beis haknesses l'odia she'en ava ka'avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that don't kiss your children in shul so that you can let it be known that there is no love like the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it doesn't sound like that it's it's just an undignified way of acting. It sounds like it's an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that by showing love to someone else, when you're in a context where love is supposed to be shown to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's considered disrespectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not stam that you dropped a formality. It's that you're taking love that should be expressed to Hashem and expressing it elsewhere. Even though it's very healthy to love your kids and it's very wonderful, and we would expect people to love their kids and to kiss their kids, but in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the all the love has to be directed toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not that kissing is the problem, it's that it has to be directed toward Hashem. So that's one diuk to make, that one difference that between what appears in the Sefer Chassidim and appears in Binyamin Zev. Also, he also says Bebeis HaKnesses, but it's not so clear that it necessarily means Bebeis HaKnesses, because if it's about the love that you should be expressing at that moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'chora, that's not Bebeis HaKnesses, that's when you're davening. You're supposed to be showing that love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I should make that an edit over here. But you should, that applies, that svara applies when you're expected to be expressing love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you're not expected to be expressing love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then l'chora, that doesn't apply. So I wasn't sure if this is really a machlokas between the Sefer Chassidim and the Binyamin Ze'ev, and I couldn't find Achronim who said with any certainty that it was a machlokas, but I came close. The closest I came is, if you look in the bottom paragraph on page number one, the Tshuvas Orach Mishpat, Rav Kook, Zichron Levracha, he writes, he hedges a little bit, but he writes, Nire, dechutz mea inyan shalo laharos ava acheres, chutz mea avas Hashem Yisbarach, aside from the inyan that the Binyamin Ze'ev pointed out, that you shouldn't show any other love other than the love for Hashem, yesh b'zeh mishum neger emas v'kavad arav, he says there's also just this lack of overall reverence that's being expressed when a person is kissing other people, whoever they may be. And therefore, maybe it's not really about a child. It could be anyone. V'yesh b'zeh chiluke deos b'na aguda v'tshuvas b'nyamin ze'ev she'erim keis tachas yadi. He says, maybe this is a machlokas between the Binyamin Ze'ev and the Sefer Chassidim. So he's not sure. He says he doesn't have a copy of the Binyamin Ze'ev, so he can't know for sure. But it's possible that this is a chiluke deos between the Binyamin Ze'ev and the Sefer Chassidim. So maybe I'm right about this diuk, that there's a difference between an overall lack of reverence versus channeling love that should be channeled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in other directions. The Rama quotes this in Shulchan Aruch. If you look on the top of page 2, on the second paragraph, Uva Anaga Brahma Simin Tzadi Ches Sival, the Rama writes, Va'asul Adam Lenashek Banaf HaKtanim Bebeis HaKnesses. So first of all, he added something that we haven't seen yet, not just Banav, but Banav HaKtanim. So it's interesting because the both of the other sources, Lo Yinash HaGadim Beis HaKnesses B'no, the Sefer Chassidim said, the Binyamin Zev, Lo Yinash HaGadim LeBanav, and over here it's Banav Ketanim Beis HaKnesses. Why? And he gives the reason of the Binyamin Zev. Kedei L'kva B'libo Shein Ava Kavas HaMakom. In order to remind himself and to teach himself that there's no Ava like the Avas HaMakom, like Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he points out that his source is from the Binyamin Ze'ev. The Kav HaChaim goes even a step further. Kav HaChaim says, if that's the idea, that you shouldn't be expressing love to anybody, Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so L'chor, it's not only about kissing. It should be about expressing any diversion of your focus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be problematic. And therefore, the Kav HaChaim writes, it's in footnote number 3, that Roy L'Adam Shekasher Yirtzel Espal Shalo Yistakel Bifnei Shum Adam Vafilu Tinok. Not even to be looking at the kids and, you know, caressing the child's cheek or whatever, you know, Kadesh lo yavo lachshov binyanei yaso adam, because you shouldn't be focused on people. El b'shashu mispalis kadesh v'yachshiv she'ein lo yachas v'kurva imshum adam elim haborin shmasal vado. that you only have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're davening, and you're not distracted at all from that connection. Can you imagine what the Kaf Chaim would have thought about cell phones and shul? Right? You're not distracted at all from that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not even by connecting with other people. And that will help a person with his kavana. So it takes it to a certain extreme. But you see very clearly in the Ramah, he says b'beis haknesses. He doesn't just say b'shas ha'tefila, but he does add another caveat that banav ha'katanim. So what does he mean by banav ha'katanim? So it could mean that's the example of the type of kiss that's a problem. The type of kiss that one would give lebanav haketanim, as opposed to, let's say, the type of kiss one would give a chacham on his hand, right? Or it could mean that any kiss is a problem, it's just banav haketanim is the most common example. When else is an Ashkenazi person going to kiss anybody in shul, if not for banav haketanim? Not so clear. The Levush in Simon Sadivav writes, lo yinashek adam banav haketanim bebeis haknesses. Also uses that lashon of banav haketanim, and he highlights this idea that there should be no ahava that rivals the ahava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you know, just like Avram Avinu, alav shalom b'kedas Yitzchak, that Avram Avinu showed that even a love of a child doesn't rival the love that one has for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Remember, Mori V'Rabbi once mentioned something like this in a major shul in the Five Towns area, and they wanted to run him out of town. They wanted to kill him. How could you say that your love of your children should be surpassed by any sort of love? And he's saying what all the sources say, that ideally the love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu should be the most primary love. And if ever there should be a conflict between love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and love of anything or anybody else, love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu has to ultimately win. That's what these sources seem to suggest. Now, in general, we're not even going to get into the issue really about, and even though the Mishnah Berurah brings it up over here, about bringing kids to shul. Meaning, the kind of kid that needs a kiss during shul, or the banav haketanim, should they be in shul in the first place? Magen Avraham writes that, I source all this in footnote number 4, the Magen Avraham writes that there's a problem with bringing too many young children to shul, and Mishnah Berurah quotes from a Shlach HaKadosh that the kids, when they're brought to shul, they're misachkim, umeraktim bebeis haknesses, umechalim kedushas bebeis haknesses. Very often they don't know how to treat a shul. And it's negative chinuch, because you're teaching the children how what they can get away with, you know, the kind of behavior they can get away with in shul, and that's not proper behavior in shul, aside from the fact that it's very distracting very often to other mispalim, to people who may want to be davening and may want to focus. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, Va'od gam ki yaskinu lo yosiru mimin hagam hara. When they get older, they're not going to change their bad habits. Asher nischanchu b'yaldusam lishtageo levazos kedushas beis haknesses. They go nuts and they totally disrespect the shul, and that's the way they were brought up, and that's what they're going to think. So he says, Adaraba, you should bring them to the shul when you're able to teach them leishev be'ema b'yira. When they can sit still, it doesn't say when they know how to daven. They don't have to know how to daven, but to respect the shul. When they're old enough to sit nicely in shul and to appreciate that this is a place where there's a certain sense of decorum and there's a certain sense of respect that happens in this place. And if you need to play, then you go outside. It's not that you bring 15 snacks and, you know, all your toys and whatever and play in shul. That's not what a shul is for. That you go outside. You do that outside. But that's negative chinuch to do that in shul. In fact, I quoted over here the Lashon of the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach HaKadosh writes, Atik divrei musr shematzasi b'sefer nikra derech chayim. He says, let me mention some musr. Omer Menachem b'zman hazeh yesh taf bal beis haknesses losesh onesh l'mevi ehen. It's a play on words. Because by hakel we say, why the taf lama bayim, k'dei litin schar l'mevi ehen. Right, to give schar for those who bring them. What's a Gemara in Chagiga, Rashi and Chumash quotes? So why is it? What's someone doing? They're bringing onesh l'mevi'ehen. It's a punishment that's going to be brought for the people who bring them. They're playing like it's the town square. Yakumul tzachik zem ze zemake ze zemaranim v'zeboche zemedaber v'zetsoik. He describes the scene of what the playgroup looks like. Zerutz Elach, Vizeratz Elach, Vyeshish or Yasit Srachav Besaknes, Vaz Yomru, Mayim Mayim, we'll get into that. Vyeshash or Yitain of Biyado Sefer, Vyashlicholaret. Sometimes the father will give him a sitter to quiet him down, and the kid throws it on the ground. Are you Krailishnaimas or Karayim? That's also a plan where he doesn't literally mean it to 12 pieces, but we have that. So in Navi Sovdavar, So it turns out from the noise that they make, the kavan of the mispalim gets destroyed. If that's what the kid is up to when you bring the kid to shul, a person shouldn't be expecting schar for bringing a child. If that's what he's going to be up to in shul, he should be waiting to see what kind of suffering he's going to have to go through because of a punishment for doing that. So a lot of times people aren't so clear on this issue. They think it's any chinuch is good chinuch. You know, that's not necessarily true. It has to be when the kid is, again, not necessarily old enough to daven, but old enough to at least sit there and behave. And it's not the same for every child. You know, even in different families, certainly not, but even within your own family. I know of my children, some of them were able to sit and behave at a very young age, and some really not. You know, still maybe have trouble with it. So you have to really know your kids and know when they're able to do this. When I was assistant rabbi in Shari Tfila many years ago, been here for 12 years already, so this must be going back 13, 14 years, whatever it was. So Rav Shechter came for a Shabbos, and my oldest son at the time, he's now 17, so I don't know, so at the time he was 3-4 years old, and Rav Shechter said to me in shul after davening, "Where's your son?" So I said, "Well, you know, he doesn't know how to daven, you know, he's like a little kid." So he said, "Does he know how to sit? It happens to be my oldest was always very mesudar. My second, not so much. That's why they're ready to kill each other half the time. My oldest, very, very mesudar. You know, everything has to be put in play." So he was always, at a very young age, he was able to sit. He has a very booming voice, but like if it was Yehesh Mei Rabbi, it would be the loudest Yehesh Mei Rabbi in the shul. But, you know, he was able to behave. So I said, "Yeah, he could sit." So Shechter said, "You should bring him. If he's able to, that's the age that you bring when they're able to sit. So for some kid it might be 3 or 4, for another kid it might be 8 or 9. whenever the kid is able to sit, that's when and to show proper respect." Okay, so this is the Ramah, and these are the two sources the Ramah is based on. Now the question is, what are the exceptions to this iser, to this, yeah?
Focus on it being dafka by tefillah as opposed to any mitzvah.
So it's an important point. Tefillah is different than any mitzvah. Meaning the halacha is, for example, the Mishnah says in Maseches Challah that an isha mafreshes challah aruma, that a woman could be mafresh challah aruma, right? Even if she's not wearing any clothing, as long as she can, because she can cover up the erva just by sitting on the ground, right? So and therefore she can say the bracha. A man, for example, Rashi writes in Maseches Brachos, is allowed to say Kriya Shema without a shirt on. Why is a man allowed to say Kriya Shema? None of those things are mutter during tefillah. Why? Because tefillah, Rashi points out in Brachos and in Chavdal and Amin Aleph, that tefillah is omid l'fnei ha-makom. When you're omid l'fnei ha-makom, there has to be a certain sense of formality in the way that we dress, in the way that we carry ourselves. Not every mitzvah is omid l'fnei ha-makom. It's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not omid l'fnei ha-makom. So yeah, dafka and tefillah, it seems.
Yeah, that extends to the Beis HaKnesses and not just Bizman tefillah.
So that might extend to the Beis HaKnesses, right? Yeah. So let's see what the poskim have to say about it. There are basically three exceptions or three potential exceptions that poskim discuss. The first, Rav Avadia discusses Ba'arichus in Yechavdas Chelik Dalet Simin Yud Beis, where Rav Avadia suggests that if the kissing that one is doing is itself a kavod l'makom, it's itself a kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's not a problem to give such a kiss. Meaning, if the whole problem, the Ramah says, is diverting the love that should be directed toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu and putting it somewhere else, but if by showing that love somewhere else, you're showing just how much you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning it's mamish along the same lines, so then it would be mutter. So therefore, says Rav Avadia, Haminog Pashud Etzleinu, by Sfardim, it's standard practice, Shabanim Menashkim Yedei Aviyem, What is a parent to a child? The Gemara in Kiddushin says, Shlosh Shut v'niyesh ba'adam, Aviv Imo v'Akadosh Baruch Hu. So the parent is the intermediary between him, between the child and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rebbe is also, what does it mean, the Gemara says, to be mistabik b'shchina, how could a person be mistabik b'shchina eish uchlohu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara has a couple of etzas. One etzah is to be mistabik b'midos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but another one is to be mistabik tamidich hachamim, that a person connects to tamidich hachamim, that brings him closer to Kavod HaMakom. Not only that, es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the Gemara tells us that you could darshan every yes in the Torah, Shimon Amsuni was darshan called Asim Shabbatora Ad Sheigia Les Hashem Elokei Chatira, and he said, "What am I going to darshan Les Hashem Elokei Chatira Ad Shabar Rabbi Akiva?" So Rabbi Akiva came along and said, "The Rabbis Tamid Chachamim." So we see that the covenant of Tamid Chachamim is Hukash LeKavod HaMakom, and Mor Rabcha Kamor Shemayim. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that there's this sense of a Rebbe being a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's Talmid Chachamim, and therefore, even in a shul, when you kiss the Talmud Chacham, it's a way of showing kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Vadya compares this to what the Gemara says in Mabasra Kufiyutas and Beis. The Gemara says, Cholkim kavod the Talmud b'fnei Rav, that you're allowed to give kavod to a Talmud in front of his own Rebbe, when the Rebbe is also showing kavod to the Talmud. V'hilchsa in Cholkim kavod Talmud b'fnei Rav, when the Rebbe is not showing kavod to the Talmud. Meaning, if the Rebbe himself wants to be chole kavod to the Talmud, then others can be give the Talmud kavod as well. And it's not considered a pegia in the kavod of Rav, in the kavod of the Rebbe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us we should be mechabed our Rebbeim and our parents, and therefore when we are mechabed our Rebbeim and our parents, that's a way of honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what he suggests to justify Sephardic practice, kissing a father's hand, kissing a Rebbe's hand, that it's the kavod, and he compares it to what the Gemara in Sota says, the Mishnah in Sota, on Gemara in Sota, Memam Beis, that for the kavod of the Kohen Gadol, we show kavod to the Sagan. How does showing kavod to the Sagan enhance the kavod of the Kohen Gadol? Because he's my assistant. You're saying yes, sir, to my assistant. So what am I? You know, that's the ultimate kavod. Someone who's on a lower level, you have to show such kavod to. So, therefore, and he says, and there's precedent for this idea of showing kavod to others, even in the place of the Shechina. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that even in the Beis HaKnesset, the Beis Medrash, which is a Makom Hashras Shechina, a person stands for his Rebbe or for his father and for Talmid Chacham. Meaning there's still a din of Mnei Seva talking about Data Bnei Zakein. Well, why? How could you show kavod to anyone else? You're standing in front of the Shechina. No, but that's gufa, the kavod of the Shechina. So that's what Rav Avadya suggests, that anything that itself, the kiss itself, is considered to be kavod of the Shechina, that would be mutter. And in fact, Rav Zilberstein quotes a Sforno in Shemos, in Parsha Shemos, where it says, that Aaron meets Moshe by Har Elokim, and he gives him a kiss. And the Sforno writes, "Kimenashek davar kadosh," like he's kissing a holy item, like Menashek Sefer Torah, that such a neshika is mutter even in Har Elokim, even in a place of Hashras Hashchina, even in a holy place. Why? Because by being menashek the Sefer Torah, it's as if you're being menashek. That's why we are menashek the Sefer Torah, because that's also a representative of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Rav Shechter used to tell the story that when Rav Avram Shapiro came to YU and he gave a shiur, Rav Soloveitchik walked in late to the shiur. He must have obviously been busy with something, and he came into the shiur, and Rav Shapiro was in the middle of the shiur. Rav Shapiro stopped the shiur, walked over to Rav Soloveitchik, gave him a kiss. I don't know, on his head, on his hand. I don't know what he did. It must have stunned, a brisker. Probably not used to it. But he gave him a kiss. And Rav Shapiro, when he continued the shiur, he said, "I know that the Rama says that you're not allowed to kiss people in shul, but you're allowed to kiss the Sefer Torah in shul. And Rav Soloveitchik is a walking Sefer Torah. So that you're allowed to do. That's not including the Yisr." Again, along the same lines of what Avadya is saying. Rav Zilberstein quotes a similar story in Varevna. He quotes Rav David Baran, who came to shul, and he heard that Hagvir Hanadir Mar Wexler, that Mr. Wexler was Meshadech his daughter with Surba Merabanon Hayasom Rav Bitzalel Jolti, with a young Talmud Chacham who was a Yasom and was poor, named Rav Bezalel Zsolti, who then went on to become the Mishnah Siyavitz, the Rav Rashi of Yerushalayim, and he kissed him on his head. He kissed Mr. Wexler on his head, Beis HaKnesses, and he said, "This neshika is a neshika like Aaron LeMoshe." He said, "It's a neshika of the Sefer Torah. That's a covet of the Shechina. Such a neshika. So l'chora, that's one heter. Now, does that heter fit into both models of the Isser? Meaning, we said one possibility of the Isser is formalities. You have to keep formalities in shul. That you can't act relaxed and informal. The other possibility is that you shouldn't channel any ahava anywhere else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So certainly this seems to be working within the second model, right? You're not supposed to be channeling, so this isn't channeling it away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adrabba, this is your way of channeling love toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about the other tzad? That formalities, is this a drop of formality? Well, maybe it depends on the type of kiss, right? To kiss the hand of a chacham, Adrabba, that is a formality, meaning that's the most formal greeting you could ever have, is to kiss the hand of the chacham. So maybe versus a big sloppy kiss on your kid's chubby cheek, you know, that's not so formal. So maybe that's debatable if you're going to go with the formality model. But certainly if you can go with how the Rama says of channeling the ava away, so then certainly this heter works. An expanded version of this heter is proposed by Rav Abadi in his Tshuvas Ar Yitzchak. This afternoon, after Mincha Maariv, Rabbi Balzum came over to me. He said, "I saw you giving shiur and kissing children in shul. You should know Rav Abadi has a tshuva in the Chelek Beis." I said, "I know that I by accident ran into that tshuva. Like, you know, what are the chances that I was going to find the tshuva of Rav Abadi? How did you also?" He said, "I don't know. I was just the sefer was behind me, and I opened it up, and that's the one tshuva I saw. I read the whole tshuva. So it's this tshuva is waiting to be read. Apparently, it's so Rabbi Abadi has a discussion on this, and he writes that." Reisi, this is by Os Beis over there on page 3. Reisi besorim shakasvu shabanava ktanim shakasvu brama him lav dafka ktanim vegam lav dafka banav. He says, "I heard that some people say that when the Rama says don't kiss little kids, it doesn't just mean little and it doesn't just mean kids. Velo nirali." He says, "I don't think that's true. I think the Rama was very precise. Velo nirali came. Obevade sheish lechalik bin katan legadol bin ben oliacher. Certainly a distinction between your son, somebody else, between a child and an older person. De nishuk lebenoa katanu be'emes marabaze al ava v'chiba. V'kol hanishuk humitzara ava. Why do you kiss a young child? It's purely because of ahava. There's nothing else. It's not a sign of respect. It's not a greeting. It's nothing. It's only ahava. That's what you're not allowed to do in shul. Aval b'bno gadol o b'acherim she'en nisha elekein she'la shalom b'zelo meri arama. But if it's a greeting, if it's just it's not pure ahava, that's permissible. V'lo l'chinam kasuv gamken b'sefer chasidim sin reshon hei shalol nashik es b'no b'dafka." He says, "You see, in the original sources, it says b'no." So you see that Rav Badi holds that it's not just anything that's a kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if it's not a kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's stam. It's just not a little kid. It's some neshika that isn't pure ava. Let's say you live in a country where people greet each other with a kiss on the cheek. Right, they still do that in some countries. Yeah, so people greet each other with a kiss on the cheek. So if you live in such a country, it's not pure ahava, it's a formality. It's not expressing kavata HaKadosh Baruch Hu either, so it doesn't fit into the first heter, but it fits into this second heter if you believe it, if you buy it, meaning Rav Badi suggesting that anything that's not pure ahava is automatically permissible. Rav Zilberstein holds something similar. He quotes many Mamari Chazal about where Tanaim and Amoraim, many Mamari Chazal, where Tanaim and Amoraim were kissing each other in Beis Medrash and Shul. This one was saying Chidushei Torah, so he right away kissed him, and you know, all sorts of these types of kavod and stories like that, where they were kissing each other in Shul. And he writes that, we're not going to go through all the Mar Mekomos unless we finish early and we have time to, but he writes that that's all permissible because it's not like the Ahavas B'no. So you're allowed to kiss when it's not purely for the Ahava of the child. So based on that, he says, if you look on page 4 in the fifth line, O nir l'anias daiti, sheyelet shenafal. What if it is beno, and it is katan, but you're not just stam kissing him because he did something cute. Yelet shenafal, v'kibel maka bebeis haknesses. He was, sitting there nicely, not doing anything wrong, and he fell, and he got hurt. Unishikaso tavi larga aso me'abechi. So you want to calm him down from crying. So mutu lasso sos bebeis haknesses, kivin she'in ze giloi ava, kiyum pu'ulas harga'a, shemutu lasso sos bebeis haknesses. Meaning if you take this svara of Rabbi Abadi, Rav Zilberstein is not quoting Rabbi Abadi, but you take this svara, the same idea, that the kind of kissing that's usher is only the kind of kissing that is pure ahava. Over here, it's to'eles oriented. There's a purpose to the kiss. It's to calm the child down, and that's therefore mutter. L'chora, one problem that you run into is there's a Rashi in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin. Rashi writes, Derech b'nei Adam, kishe yotzim mibeis haknesses, that when people leave shul, miyad hu noshek la'aviv li'imo, ul'gadol menu bar kuvo b'paseyat. When they leave shul, that's when they kiss their parents or someone else. So you see that all this kind of kissing, which is not pure ahava, it's respect kissing, is outside of shul. So why do they have to wait till they get outside of shul? So in the Tshuva Space Yisrael, he says, man, that was their minhag. That's what they did. Meaning it's not a raya that it couldn't be done in shul. It's just that's what they did. Now, which of the two models of the Isser does this fit with? So l'chor, if the Isser is to show any sort of ava other than avas Hashem, so then you have what to work with over here. You have what to discuss. Because this isn't showing ahava. This is calming a kid down, showing respect, greeting a person, something like that. But if the isser is that you're dropping formalities, so then these kinds of kissing, which it may not be pure ava, let's say kissing a bar mitzvah boy, right after his aliyah. So it's not the pure ahava because it's pride of his accomplishment or whatever. So it's not pure ahava, but it is a major drop in the formality of what goes on in shul. So it may depend on these two models of what the basis of the isur is. But even if you do assume the ahava model, it's still not so pasha that anything that's not pure ahava. You know, when a father kisses the bar mitzvah boy, it's also, or you kiss the kid who got hurt, it's to calm him, but it's also ahava.
No one else
you don't kiss someone else's kid who got hurt. Exactly. So it's also some sense of ahava. A third possible heter, Rav Abadi also quotes, that maybe this whole hakpada is only b'shas ha'tfila. When the Zohar quotes this whole inyan, he writes b'shaita d'tzlusa. So maybe there's no issue bebeis haknesses, even though the term that's used in the Sefer Chasidim and the Binyamin Ze'ev is bebeis haknesses, because that's when you're in shul, you're in bebeis haknesses, when you're davening. So it really means b'shas ha'tfila. Now, he then adds, nowadays that our batei knesios are not miyuchad only for tfila, so certainly shalom b'shas ha'tfila should be mutter, meaning as another sniff. Even if you hold it is a din in bebeis haknesses. You know what else you're not allowed to do in shul? You're not allowed to eat in shul. You're not allowed to speak sichas chulin in shul. People tend to do that when it's not davening time. Only when it's not davening time. But when it's not davening time, people tend to do that. So why is that okay? Because our batei knesios don't have the full-fledged kedushas beis haknesses like you would expect. And therefore, at least for this halacha, we should be able to rely on it. Rabbi Abadi says that shalom b'shas tefila. Furthermore, he says, let's say the bar mitzvah boy case. He just leaned his parsha. So the father gives him a kiss. He says, there's only problem b'shas ha'tfila. That's what Yoni was saying before. What about other mitzvahs? Kriyas ha'tar is another mitzvah. It's not shas ha'tfila. It's a different mitzvah. So it's not shas ha'tfila during shas kriyas ha'tar. That itself is an interesting discussion. I wrote up a whole... Did I publish it in the Aretz Tzafon this time? I don't think so. I think I did. Davening drunk in the Aretz Tzafon this time. So I wrote up a whole shtickle. There's a Rebbe in Yeshiva, David Sukenik, who I'm in Camp Keli with. You know David. So he's a Rebbe in Kushner, And he said that they important name nowadays. So he said that they let the yeshiva out on a fast day. They let the boys out, the boys and girls out early, and they know that if they let them out without davening mincha, that there's a reasonable chance one or two of the kids might not daven mincha later in the day. So they have a mincha minyan in yeshiva. The problem is that with the bus schedules, they have to start before the zman. But it's a tainus, right? On a tainus, they have to start before. So what are you going to do before the zman? You're just going to be lane. You're going to lane the kriyas haTorah and the haftar. Can you do that before the zman? I'll smach that you're going to do the Shmona Esrei during the zman. So that, it's a fascinating discussion. It's not so pashut that kriyas haTorah is totally separate from tefillah and is not considered b'shas haTefillah. I mean, we do it during davening. We do it like, you know, between shacharis and musaf. That's when we're, so it's not so not so pashut that that's the case. But Rabbi Abadi says that at least it's another sniff lahakel to allow during shas kriyas haTorah. Right. Right, that is not part of Ketan. Yeah, we mentioned that here also, that it's not for when it's, he said, the Ramah was Meduyak. It's Banav and Ketanim, that both have to be true, even though the original sources never even mentioned anything about Ketanim, but maybe that's just the assumption. I've heard from Rav Shechter, and I saw in other sources, Rav Shurkin and Magid Yevus Olam and others, quote that Rav Moshe used to kiss his grandchildren in shul when it wasn't davening time. With the understanding that it's not a din in Beis HaKnesses, din in Tefillah. And his raya, they say, was that the Ramah quotes this in Hilchos Tefillah, not in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. If it was really a din in Beis HaKnesses, he would have quoted in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. Rav Shechter was not convinced by that raya. He didn't think that you could bring a raya from where something is quoted in Shulchan Aruch to what the nature of the din is. A lot of times people do that with the Rambam, that the Rambam was so careful about organizing things, putting halachas. If you look in footnote number 10, the Rav Asher Weiss pointed to a Radvaz, the comments about the Rambam being Mesader as halachas, and he writes, V'seder hilchosav mora al rochav sichlo v'rov zichiraso v'tov hakafaso b'chol divrei rishonim. The way he organized things in the Rambam is such a testimony to how great he was. Adjikshani choshev b'libi beze derechaya emod marid ki ani roa perik echad mover mikama mesechtos u'kvar hifligu arishonim l'daber minyan zeh. He says, you see, in a single perik in Rambam, mesechtos from all over the place. The incredible ability of the Rambam to do that. But even in the Rambam, Rav Asher Weiss was not convinced that you can always be mochiach what the halacha is about based on where the halacha is. Because he writes, sometimes, shedarko lesaders halachos lefi mitzius hama'asim va'ofen asiyasam v'lo lefi mahus ha-halacha. That sometimes it's in a certain spot in the Rambam because it's in a context where it's likely to happen. Not because that's the yisod of the halacha. If you say that about the Rambam, you can certainly say that about the Shulchan Aruch. That it could be kissing kids in shuls in Hilchos Tefillah because that's when it happens. So it comes up in Hilchos Tefillah, not because it's a yisod, it's a din in Tefillah per se, as opposed to being a din in Beis HaKnesses. So anyway, so that's why Rav Shechter was not so particularly excited about that diuk of Rav Moshe. So we discussed again the two basic models of what the Isser might be, and three possible heterim, and how some of those heterim may depend on which of these models we follow for Nishika of the Beis HaKnesses.